You're listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode one. On this episode, we're just going to introduce ourselves a little bit so you know more about who you're listening to. I'm Ashley Parrish, and I'm joined today with one of my good friends, Jessica Pfeiffer.
Hi, Ashley. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. I was just thinking about the first time that we met. Do you remember that?
Yes. It makes me laugh thinking about it.
You looked at me and said, I really like your jeans. And I said, thanks. And you said, where did you get them? I said, I don't remember. Look at the back of my tag. And I let you look down my pants to see where I bought my jeans. And we were fast friends. I mean, it was an intimate moment. Yes. So we've been friends since then.
Yes. Well, there was just something about you. We met in Bible study, for those of you listening. And I could just tell there was something wonderful about Jessica. I could just tell by the way she carried herself, by the way she spoke to other people. And I heard early on, if you want to be a certain way, surround yourself with people like that. And so what I was looking for at the time, I was a young wife, I was a young mama, and I just wanted to surround myself with women that loved their husbands and were passionate about motherhood. And I just saw that in you, Jessica. And I think the jeans thing was kind of like an icebreaker. And the fact that you pulled down your tag, I was like, oh my gosh, I love her. We're going to be good friends.
Yes, I remember that too. And I felt the same way. I saw a charismatic personality. I saw that you were happy and you were fun to be with, and you could just sense it right away. And there was a connection, and we've had that for, I don't know, that was probably 8 or 10 years ago.
It was a while. My oldest was a tiny baby. I think at the time I only had one kid. So, you know, that was a while ago.
Yes. So
for those of
you've been through it. And now look at you, from one kid to, why don't you introduce yourself and tell about your family?
I'd love to, Jessica. My name is Ashley Parrish. I'm a mom of seven. We're actually a blended family. I had three children and then found myself divorced with three young children. Afterwards, I remarried to a man named Brett, and we surprisingly had two sets of twins back to back, 3 months apart. Not that I was counting, but I was. So together we have seven children all together, and I've always wanted a big family. Two sets of twins was surely a surprise, and seven. It's just been so much fun. A lot of hard work, for sure, but such a joy. So that's our family. And we live here in the heat of South Texas. I'm not sure why we live here. Yes. But we love.
And vacation other places.
Yes, for sure. In the colder places. But that's us. That's who we are. Jessica, you have a large family as well. So tell us about yourself.
Yeah, you have me beat. But I do remember, finding out that you were pregnant with twins the first time, and then a couple of years later, the second time, and thinking, I remember saying to you, are you freaking out? And you said, no, I think it's hilarious. And you just had the best attitude about it. Like, this God just has a great sense of humor.
Yes, that's what we tell everybody. God is funny. Trust
me. That is funny. Yeah. So I would have been freaking out. But I have four of my own. I have my oldest just sent off to college this fall, and getting him established there. And it has been a real transition for our family with one gone. Right. We have another one in high school, a girl in high school, a girl in middle school, and a girl in elementary school. I've got myself spread thin between all of the different grade levels. And it has become a girl house now that my son has moved out of the house. So my husband, Charlie is all on his own with the boy stuff. And he's enjoying this house of girls, though. They dote on their daddy and love him. So it's been it's been a fun thing to see that dynamic change.
That's wonderful.
So Ashley, we've walked this road together for a while, and we have both talked a lot about parenting and realized there was a real need for discussion among moms of teens and preteens on how to walk this next step. And you are about to be there with your daughter, and felt like it was a great time to start a podcast, because if we need it, there's a good chance that other people need some words of wisdom also.
Absolutely, Jessica. You know, you're a couple steps ahead of me in this motherhood journey, and I've always looked to you for advice and encouragement, and you've always been so kind and generous enough to pass down your wisdom from what you've learned in raising your older kiddos. And we do have a passionate heart for motherhood and raising up our kiddos. So I'm super excited about this podcast because you're right. If someone can join in on our conversations and just get some wisdom from it or maybe some encouragement along the way, I think it'll be worthwhile.
Well, you know, I know a little bit about parenting teenagers because I have a few in that stage, but I know somebody who is even better than me because he has walked alongside parents for many years as a psychologist. It's Dr. Kenneth Wilgus. He is a licensed psychologist and he specializes in adolescence. And so I would love for him to join us in our conversations to give us words of wisdom that have worked for thousands of families. Hi, Kenneth.
Hi, kids. Good to hear you guys talk. I like hearing passionate parents talking together about the whole process. I liked everything except the genes story. I've been racking my brain as to my two or three best guy friends. And I got to tell you, looking down our genes was not a part of any of our meetings. So
you're missing out.
It's just not there. Yeah, it's just not. It's different.
They were really cute genes.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. That's really not the issue. Anyway, but yeah, thanks. I'm glad to be here, especially with y'all's passion for parenting. And it's very important to me, parents' just desire to do right and to love their children right.
Yes.
Right. Dr. Ken, for our listeners who have, let's say they've never heard of you before, could you just take a minute and introduce yourself and tell us about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I'm a psychologist, licensed psychologist, as Jessica said, and worked for about 30 years. Bulk of that is with teenagers and their families. Almost, I got dragged into that reluctantly. I remember graduate school not wanting to work with teenagers, but for different reasons, it just kind of came out that way. And you have a sort of bent for different things. I've worked for a long time with parents and teenagers and used to do a parent training in a workshop that was a long time ago that was called Feeding the Mouth That Bites You. And that parent training was really about teaching parents about more effective ways of really dealing with teenagers. And then over time, that just became a part of the overall work that I do with families.
Yeah.
And so I've been doing, and I love it. Now I love it. I didn't want to do it 30 years ago, but I can't imagine not doing it.
Teen work is tough, I'm sure.
If you haven't done it at a time, it's great. Just right. I get them one at a time in my office.
That's right. Dr. Ken, I'm so grateful for the work that you do. I know as a mama of seven kiddos, but even as a mom listening that has one child, I think it's important for these great resources. And I know for me, there are so many books about parenting, even from pregnancy, infancy, and on up. But it seems like once we get into adolescence, the resources are few and far between. I'm so grateful for your work and this book that you wrote. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I for a long time really thought I don't know that we need another parenting book, just like you're saying. Mm. But the thing that I really developed a passion for is the kind of central message. I'm kind of a simplistic sort of guy. So a lot of complicated stuff, a lot of complicated knowledge that I think is more accessible to parents now than ever, I think can, for me, obscure what is the most important. And so I wrote Feeding the Mouth That Bites You to really stand among other books, if you will, but to really make sure that you're staying on the right path. There is actually a way for parents of teenagers to know that you're doing the right thing, basically, and that you're on the right track, even in the midst of lots of other stuff. And I know that sounds a little hard to believe because parenting can be so scary, but especially with teenagers, there is a central path that you can always know that as long as we're basically following this, then it does help to manage a whole bunch of other lesser stuff and to kind of calm that fear of, are we doing it all wrong? Which I think parents have all the time now.
Okay, so tell us the answer. What is the answer? How do we parent these kids? What's the perfect?
What's the golden path?
Yes.
Well, yes, I want to plan.
Well, you know, there really is, and it's a little more complicated, but there is a couple of basic things that parents really need to grasp. And the first one is that teenagers, that is from the ages of about 13 to 18, are not children. Mm-hmm. Childhood comes to its natural end by about the age of 13. And, you know, you can just look at the history to find out that it's a very new thing that mm-hmm. we think of teenagers as just old children. And right. and we've created all kinds of problems because of that. Now, before everyone panics that, oh, no, does my 13-year-old have to move out to their own apartment?
Get a job, kids.
It doesn't sound like a dad. It doesn't mean that you're done. It just means that the parenting style moves basically from mostly teaching and protecting to a style that is much more and more training and preparing. Right. And that's a huge difference in how you do it, even though the specifics of what you do, for example, do they just get the keys to their own place? Of course not. But teenagers are very aware of how they're being talked to and the approach of how they're being dealt with. And yes. so the very same message, you know, that's a reasonable message, but is stated in more of a term of, hey, this is someone who knows I'm a young adult and is trying to prepare and release me, can come across way easier than the very same words from what's perceived as a parent that's still trying to teach me everything and protect me from everything. It's a significant shift in how you do it, even though it doesn't mean that there's radical, crazy, you know, leave them alone stuff that you start doing.
Right, right. So explain to us a little bit about how we follow this golden path of transitioning from childhood to adulthood in a natural progression and not a let them loose and go get a job kid sort of a way.
Well, just as an introduction, because the book really lays this out in an almost mathematical way, meaning that, you know, you could kind of do all the steps that are in the book, because I've been doing this for a long time. But the general thing that's laid out there is what I call planned emancipation. And that is that essentially that by the age of 13, if you don't have this old child, you have this very young adult who is mainly needing to know, am I ever going to arrive at my own autonomy, adulthood, and how will I know that I get there? Then a parent that gets ahead of that communicates that, hey, we get this. You know, I was noticing yesterday when I asked you, did you finish your homework before you start on your video game? It really annoyed you. And I think that's because you're not a kid anymore. It must feel to you like I'm talking to you like you're 7 and now you're 15. So we're going to change how we do that. And so things that you begin to really give the message that we're going to be handing over freedom mm-hmm. in an orderly and, you know, sane fashion, rather than so many families waiting until my teenager rips freedom out of my cold, dead hand. And it's essentially a sane way of, but it is truly of handing over some freedom, some areas that you say, this is not up to me anymore. This is up to you. Starting at 13, did it at my house. And then finishing mm-hmm. pretty much at the last of high school, which your kids have to be ready to be making their own choices of stuff pretty much by the time they finish high school. So yes. it is pretty bold, but it is orderly. It is in the parents' control rather than the kids. And it's basically the needed thing to feeding this mouth that keeps biting you. They are needing independence. They need to hear that the people that know me are telling me it is time for me to make my own choices.
Dr. Ken, I was so grateful for your book, because as we approach adolescence with my oldest, she'll be 13 this month, I know what I want as an end result when she's legally an adult, but it was, what does that look like between here and now? And I got so much from your book on how to fill that in and what that plan looks like.
Yeah. Does it scare you a little? I mean, a lot of times.
Bits and pieces, yes, but it's probably because I'm a type A personality.
Yes. You want that control, right?
Yeah. Like, I want to be in control. You know, I can do it right. I'm a critical thinker.
We'll talk about this another time, but you're probably a nurturer. And I mentioned the book. This is really hard for moms. It has the feel like I'm not loving my child, when in fact, it is really giving respect to my young adult child, which is just hard to feel sometimes. So I figured it might be a little scary.
Well,
it is,
Ashley,
but it's exactly what we need.
It is. And Ashley, I don't know about you, but listening to Dr. Kin talk about this orderly fashion made me think of 100, probably 1,000 different topics.
Yes.
With raising teens and how to get them from point A, you know, at preteen years to Z when they're an adult and moving out of the house in a healthy way where our family survives the crisis and our kids survives the crisis. And we can all have a good, healthy relationship at the end of all of this that we want, you know, a good relationship with our adult children too. So there's so many questions that have been brought to mind because of this. Dr. Kin, would you be available for us to ask you more questions next time?
As long as I have passionate parents that are interested, I totally want to be there. I would love it. I haven't heard I think I told you all this. I haven't heard a new question in 10 years. I mean, I just try to ask me something that we haven't covered in my office 100 times. There's just a lot of details that I would love to talk about it.
Just give us some time, Dr. Kin.
We'll stump you.
Yeah. Probably on electronics. That's changes every 6 months.
Where we're heading.
Yes.
There will be a lot of asking for a friend conversations. So, well, thank you so much for being here with us, Dr. Kin.
This is going to be great.
Yeah, and it's fun to be with you, Ashley. I appreciate our friendship, and this is a great way to get to chat with you even more.
Yes, of course. Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.